This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Today, the Supreme Court could do away with affirmative action. The DHS has been coordinating with the FBI and big tech to police disinformation, as if you didn't already know that. And Don Lemon presses John Fetterman on his health. We've got all of that and more coming up, and it all starts right now. Welcome to the news and why it matters. I am Sarah Gonzalez, and I am joined today by my good friends, Blaze TV contributor Yaku Bouyans, also host of The Bottom Line and host of Stinchfield, the podcast. This is, of course, the one and only Stinchfield.
Thank you.
I mean, I guess his first name is Grant, but I just prefer to.
Please, people, subscribe. Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts, Rumble, whatever. It's important.
But wherever you can get it.
Do you just go by Stinchfield now?
Stinchfield. Just the name. Like on Newsmax, the show was Stinchfield. And at NRA TV, the show was Stinchfield. So I said, I might as well just keep it back to Stinchfield.
Yeah. So please make sure that you are subscribed to both of these gentlemen. Big Tech, as we will get to later on in the program. They don't want you to get actual information, like, I don't know, really what's going on, the truth about what's going on. They just want you to listen to CNN and MSNBC. So you got to make sure that you're subscribed to Stinchfield. Make sure you're subscribed to The Bottom Line so that you can get the actual facts and truth of all of these stories that matter so much to you as the average American. Speaking of stories that matter, yesterday the Supreme Court heard two cases that could lead justices to rule against affirmative action. So here are the high points of this story. Students for Fair Admissions, this is a legal advocacy group which opposes affirmative action. They have filed complaints against Harvard and the University of North Carolina for, quote, employing racially and ethnically discriminatory policies and procedures, end quote, when accepting students. So this is the lawsuit against Harvard. This was the case with the Asian American students. So they said Asian American students need significantly higher standardized test scores to gain entrance into elite colleges. A study from 2009 concluded that Asian applicants required an SAT score approximately 140 points higher than white applicants, 270 points higher than Hispanic applicants, 450 points higher than black applicants. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson has recused herself from this Harvard case, since, of course, she recently concluded a six-year term on the Harvard Board of Overseers, which she's recusing herself, so do the math there. Mm-hmm. That could give the conservatives an advantage. So during these cases yesterday, the U.S. Solicitor General claimed it is a critical national security imperative to attain diversity within the officer corps. Listen.
That truth is vitally important to our nation's military. Our armed forces know from hard experience that when we do not have a diverse officer corps that is broadly reflective of a diverse fighting force, our strength and cohesion and military readiness suffer. So it is a critical national security imperative to attain diversity within the officer corps. And at present, it's not possible to achieve that diversity without race-conscious admissions, including at the nation's service academies. The military experience confirms what this court recognized in Grutter, that in a society where race unfortunately still matters in countless ways, achieving diversity can sometimes require conscious acts by our leading educational institutions.
I feel like basically everything she said right there was completely untrue. I want to add to this conversation, there was a point as well during all of these hearings where Clarence Thomas said he doesn't have a clue what the word diversity even means. And he asked the UNC Solicitor General or the North Carolina Solicitor General to define what the word actually means and list its benefits. Listen.
I've heard the word diversity quite a few times, and I don't have a clue what it means. It seems to mean everything for everyone. And I'd like you first, you did give some examples in your opening remarks, but I'd like you to give us a specific definition of diversity in the context of the University of North Carolina. And I'd also like you to give us a clear idea of exactly what the educational benefits of diversity at the University of North Carolina would be.
Yes, Your Honor. So first, we define diversity the way this court has in its court's precedents, which means a broadly diverse set of criteria that extends to all different backgrounds and perspectives and not solely limited to race. And there's a factual finding in this record, PEDAP 113, that there are many different diversity factors that are considered as a greater factor in our admissions process than race.
I don't think he actually just said anything right there. That was a lot of just...
Look, I'll
words, word salad.
Yeah.
Factors, diversity, factors, beliefs. Yes. That's what I heard. It's just like.
I'm loving this moment.
Yeah.
Coming from a country where, you know, with affirmative action and, you know, just running through our country, decimating senior management in the country. I'm glad that some people still have sanity to go.
And you have the black man standing up and saying,
but listen
to
what the black man did, though. Justice Thomas was so smart. He said, why don't you define it for us?
Right.
Because your counterpart that, you know, or your accomplice in crime that just spoke before said they always want to make it about race. You're the ones making it about race. Mm-hmm. You're the ones who are profiling by race. You're the ones who are lowering standards for some and raising it for the others, all the way up into the White House press room. That's right, Karine Jean-Pierre, an affirmative action hire, 100%. Mm-hmm. So I'm so glad to see that some people are saying, no. And then and that the black man would say, what exactly is diversity? Help me out here again.
Yeah.
See, what's interesting is, I have so much respect for Clarence Thomas, probably my favorite Supreme Court of all time, justice of all
favorite.
Time.
Yeah. My favorite.
But I mean, he knows what diversity is. I know what diversity is. So I'm listening, I'm like, where's he going with this? And the answer was really what summed it up. Because look, we all know what diversity is. A wide range of ideas, a wide range of different people. We all know what diversity is. And I actually think diversity is great. You know, I want a different set of ideas and experiences. And I actually believe that when police go into to impoverished neighborhoods, it's nice when you have a cop that is also of the same color that people are there. Like, those are important things.
But on merit, though.
On merit. But the issue which was spelled out when you opened it up is the colleges talk about policies. Mm-hmm. So it can't just be common sense. It's written out in a policy that then is followed where people who aren't of color, or you're not Asian, or you are Asian, or you're this, or that, end up getting hurt because of the policy. Why can't we just have common sense and say, you know what, there's a really smart kid in a really poor neighborhood. He's not quite as good as everybody else, but I want to give that guy a shot.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a policy.
Right.
Like, okay, let's give him a shot on his merit, because you know what it looks like? This kid works really hard. Not that his scores are less or that anything else, but you're trying to give somebody a chance. Mm. Not because you have a policy for it. It's the policies that get us in trouble. No one can critically think. So they enact policies to get around anybody critically thinking.
The paper says do so. So,
so
I must
do.
Yeah.
And the military,
monkeys.
Can I just add the military? I wasn't ever in the military. But I can tell you, if I was, and I was under fire in a jungle or on a desert, I could give a rat's ass whether the person next to me is black, white, or Hispanic, or Asian.
Exactly.
And that's why I think that when we're talking about all of these affirmative action issues, that is my biggest pressing issue, is that we have all of the military forces seemingly just focused, hyper-focused on making sure that they're diverse and inclusive, rather than making sure that we have people that can actually fulfill the job requirement. Meanwhile, China over there is just like salivating over all of our LGBTQ inclusive videos that the military is putting forth, and they're putting out, you know, ads. It's like, I'm a lesbian and I'm so glad that I joined the army because now they're inclusive and they welcome me. And it's like, oh my God.
Please bring me your soldiers.
Do you really think it's going to matter who you sleep with when China comes and we're all like, you know, they're our new overlords? Do you think that's going to, I mean, yeah, it's going to matter because they're going to take you and like throw you off a building probably. But like, other than that, defending the country, I don't think it matters much.
No, it doesn't. But you mentioned something that's so on point, and South Africa is really the world's litmus test on this. If you want diversity, then you develop at a young age. You develop, you go into the rural communities, and you invest in children, and you will end up with diversity. You will end up with a hodgepodge of different kinds of people competing on merit for the job. And by nature, it'll be diverse. You don't set a policy at the top and go, oh, go find me a black guy. Oh, it's like hiring for a movie set. This is Hollywood. This is how they cast. Oh, we need an Asian guy. But it can't be too, it can be too yellow-skinned.
Yeah.
He's got to be, and then you go get me the black girl in 30s and the black girl in the 40s. Oh, and then we got to get at least one white guy. You can't run a country like this, Grant, or business like this. Military, people going to die.
This has infiltrated the news business as well. So I came up in mainstream television. I worked 20 years for the NBC owned and operated group where there literally was no diversity of thought. So there was plenty of diversity of color, but there was no diversity of thought. If you were a conservative, you can't get a job there. And quite frankly, if you were a white guy with at one point blonde hair and blue eyes, you weren't getting a job in a city like New York. You're just not. So it was the opposite and there was no diversity in thought. And I'm like, okay, you can have one reporter who might be biased to the left, but you might have one reporter like me who is a free market thinker and I'm doing stories on. That's how a newsroom balances itself out. By having diverse reporters doing diverse things, you're trying to run it down the middle if you're a news organization.
But it's not skin pigment.
It's not skin pigment.
It's character.
And so, this is a huge problem, but when government tries to stick its nose in how to control it, because in the end, NBC is owned by shareholders. Mm-hmm. Shareholders run an undiverse newsroom. That's their choice.
Yeah.
I don't want government coming in and telling you have to do this. I certainly don't want government telling me I have to do this in a college or university.
Right.
And I don't want them telling me to do that in my life.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned the newsrooms, and not that this has to do with the government actually, mandating it, but it trickles down so far, even so far as to like my 10-year-old son. When he was younger, we had him, he was in modeling and he belonged to an agency and all of that. And we were finding, and the actual agency confirmed to us that there's just not a big need for, boys with blue eyes and white skin and light hair. Like there's just not they're all booking more ethnically, looking diverse children. And so there's just not a need for this all-American look anymore. I mean, they told us that.
But you know how bad it gets if you don't put a rein on it, okay? It gets into what's called a quota system. Our sports teams in South Africa at the senior level, the national teams, have a quota.
Right.
There's an actual quota. It's not the best man playing. It's so many players of this color. So it's black, what we would call biracial, the Cape colors, and then whites. And there's a quota system down to what you would call peewee football. So now little Johnny is you're the fourth white kid. You're the fastest, but you can't play. We've already had three white kids there.
Which then again brings everything down.
Of course.
To the lowest common denominator.
Of course.
Instead of bringing people up, they bring everybody down.
Everybody
all the
down.
Way to freaking mannequins at Victoria's Secret. Why are they fat now?
Right.
Why are they fat mannequins? Like, seriously.
Not just mannequins, they're fat people on the windows.
In the windows, exactly. Like, why? Like, because you're bringing everything down to the lowest common denominator. Sorry to people that are out of shape. But it's true.
It is true. And you just reminded me of a while back that we had a story that Coca-Cola was, it's this all this ESG that's creeping up. They're like, we're not going to work with any agencies, any firms, anyone, if they don't have a 50% or more, diversity quota or whatever.
That's
and it's
right.
like, and you go and look at the Coca-Cola board of directors and they're like all old white men.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, of course, because they don't actually believe in these policies. They're just like, oh, we have to implement some sort of ESG. So this is what we're going to do. Hopefully this turns out the way that it should, but definitely we will keep an eye on the matter. We've got more to come. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Genucel. So Julia over in Arlington, right around the corner, she said she was blown away by the results she saw with Genucel. She said, I began using Genucel's most popular package recently. I went to get a facial and the technician said, I have impeccable skin. And she has seen 20-year-olds that don't have skin as nice as mine. Genucel products delight men and women by correcting daily skin problems like wrinkles, dark spots, dry skin, sagging jawline, facial redness, and those annoying bags and puffiness under your eyes. I am using Immediate Effects. I use it every day. It's called Immediate Effects under your eyes. And then you follow it up with the plant stem cell therapy under your eyes. And you, trust me when I tell you, you will look years younger. I'm actually 93, but I look like I'm way younger.
You're not supposed to tell them.
I know. I'm sorry. I gave away the secret. I'm 93 years old. I look as good as I do because of Genucel. From now until Thanksgiving, you can treat yourself to Genucel's most popular package for 70% off at Genucel.com. Right now, the only skincare products you will ever need. They've got a hyaluronic acid correcting serum that they will include for free when you add it to your cart with this particular package. If you go to Genucel.com/Y, that is Genucel.com/Y. The Intercept obtained leaked documents outlining the DHS's ongoing plan to police disinformation. Now, remember, it was just back earlier this year when we talked about the DHS. I mean, they actually came forward with this disinformation board, and they were, like, laughed out of mainstream society for trying to create this. They had just the most god-awful leader of it. And they decided, oh, I guess we're not going to do this in public. Well, this is all going on behind the scenes, of course, I'm sure you already knew. So prior to the 2020 election, tech companies, including Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, Discord, Wikipedia, Microsoft, LinkedIn, Verizon Media, met on a monthly basis with the FBI, CISA, and other government representatives as part of an initiative, which is still ongoing, of course, no shock to anyone, between the private sector and government to discuss how firms would handle misinformation during the election. So two FBI agents were involved in high-level communications that allegedly led to, of course, Facebook's suppression of the New York Post article reporting of Hunter Biden's laptop. One of the FBI agents who met with Facebook about the Hunter Biden story met with Twitter and DHS this year to explain why we need a media infrastructure that is held accountable, whatever that means. Facebook created they literally had a special portal where DHS employees, government partners, could go to this portal to report disinformation directly so that it could quickly be addressed. So this is obviously a shortcut, right? They're like, oh, we see something we don't like on the internet. We got to go to the portal. We got to tell Facebook. We got to tell Twitter so that they can immediately remove it so that people can't. We don't want them to know the truth. That people are saying masks don't work. We can't have them saying that. People are saying that COVID was created in a lab. We can't have them saying that. We got, excuse me, Facebook, this is Officer Karen. I'm calling you, I'm typing to you to tell you that you need to remove this information. It could lead to people questioning the government, and we don't want that. That's all I have to say. I'm about to have to use the swear jar, so I need one of you guys.
Oh, boy.
I hate these people.
Look, I'll tell you, nothing about the FBI surprises me anymore. Nothing. And that they,
all of them.
That they colluded with Zuckerberg and Meta, Facebook, of course they did. That they would suppress. It's, you know, it's so funny. They say, again, they say we want to hold social media companies accountable, right? Yeah, that's called Section 230. We have that. They violate that every single day. They're publishers, right, and they share political opinion. We have that. We have a law to hold them accountable. Hey, by the way, we also want to hold them accountable to allow freedom of speech to reign, but now we find out, no, your accountability is silence,
right,
the free thinkers. Now you've got literally, you know, the FBI colluding, silencing free thinkers. Does not surprise me, but it just an ever-going, growing problem in our country.
Look, in the end, it's understandable the FBI would want to talk to these agencies if there's threats of a hack.
Right.
If there's threats of someone going to infiltrate your systems, that's law enforcement. Yeah. But a public square, a bulletin board, is basically all it is. It's not the FBI's role to be saying, hey, this is wrong or this is right. The only reason the overlords at Facebook and Twitter and Instagram wanted to take that over is because they support the Democrat Party so much, they want to censor any information that could be harmful to them. Mm-hmm. And they use the FBI now. I believe they were probably so grateful the FBI was coming in because it gave them cover.
Yeah, of
course. Oh, well, the FBI said I should take it down.
Yes, good point. Yep. Of course.
Which is why Mark Zuckerberg went on Joe Rogan's and was like, FBI.
We're not going to disobey the FBI.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Which is why he pleaded the fifth like 50 times when Marsha Blackburn pressed him, you know, in that time in Congress. It makes all the sense. It gives them an incredible backdoor.
We have a ruling class in America, a ruling class of elites that operate by a different set of rules. The FBI operates now on behalf of those elites. Sadly, those elites are Democrats, though we do have some establishment Republicans that are cozied up to that same group. But the FBI is the henchman. They're the bag man and the strong arm for that group of elites. The tech company is well ingrained in that. Our leaders in Washington, sadly, are well ingrained in that. Washington bureaucrats are well ingrained in that. And I believe that the FBI is well ingrained in that, too.
Grant, you don't see Parler on that list. You don't see Truth Social on that list. You don't see Newsmax on that list. Right. You don't see Blaze on that list, The Daily Wire on that list. No, they're going after the mainstream, leftist-leaning tech companies. And there are conservative tech companies and platforms like The Blaze. That's amazing. But they know they're going after those left-leaning because they know they'll dance like puppets.
And want to dance.
They want to.
Yes.
They want to align. They want to align with the establishment.
So I want to just give a quick, I don't know, anecdote of what might happen if you participate in this disinformation that the government has deemed as inappropriate. True the Vote leaders, Catherine Engelbreit and Greg Phillips, were put in jail after they refused to give up the name of one of their sources, whom they, of course, allege is a confidential FBI informant. So these are the people who, if you guys watch that documentary that sounds a lot like, 1,000 Donkeys, but I'll just not say the actual name so that in hopes that the YouTube algorithm doesn't ding us for talking about it.
We can't say the name, so I can't say the name.
I mean, I don't know if the control room can tell me whether or not we can even say the name. I'm not sure, but we've discussed the movie at great length.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fabulous movie.
It is.
Salem Media, who I work for, Salem Radio, I do a radio show in Los Angeles. Yeah. Salem Media was behind that movie. It's eye-opening, and I actually believe the fact that they are imprisoning those two people who were instrumental in tracking down the mules that were moving votes that are shown in that movie. That is frightening to the core, because there has been times in the past where they have imprisoned journalists for not giving up sources.
Yeah.
There have been times. It's not often, but there have been times. You know, when I worked at NBC, I was an investigative reporter, so I would come across this all the time.
Right.
I could never, ever promise someone anonymity. Okay.
Right.
I could say, I'm going to do my best to keep
But if you were pressed, you would have to give it up.
And I tell people that most reporters do not, okay? And this is a big distinction. I'm honest with my source. If you tell me this and the courts come calling, I can't guarantee you that I'm going to go to jail for this. So either don't tell me the information, which is fine, or know that there may be a chance that I'm going to have to give up the information, because a journalist isn't any more special. I hate to break the news to all you journalists out there. They're not any more special. They don't enjoy any more rights than American citizens
enjoy. There's
no immunity.
Right. Yeah.
There's not. They don't get
supposed to be.
Get to go places that other people don't. We all have equal rights. And so you don't get to keep a source when, you know, if you know something or they're trying to interview you about it. It's not one of your rights, especially if a crime was committed. But here, a crime I don't believe was committed.
No.
So you got to be careful, because now they're going after him, and you're ready to go to jail. And thankfully, I think they are. Thankfully for these two.
Right.
They're brave souls.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But it shouldn't have to come to that.
No.
It shouldn't have to come to that.
No.
All right. Last word. Go ahead.
No, it's a suppression of freedom. And it's what you're going to see it all around. This is why they're going after the top lawyers in the country right now. Mm-hmm. We just spoke to one before the show. They're going after all the top lawyers, whether they were part of J6 or not. Mm-hmm. They're taking the conservative lawyers and they're trying to take them out, because they know at some point there is a standoff in the courts in America for freedom.
Yep.
Speaking of going after the top lawyers, I'd just like to remind everyone here in Texas to make sure to go vote and vote for Ken Paxton, because that is one of the people that they are going after really hardcore, and we need him in Texas to continue to be at the helm of things, as well as voting for all of the attorneys general across the country, Republican.
Can I just say something about Ken Paxton, the attorney general in Texas?
Please.
This is a man who is engaging in lawfare. The Democrats perfected the art of lawfare. Ken Paxton has sued the Biden administration like 26 times now.
More than anyone else.
And so at the very least, it slows down the Biden agenda.
Yes.
At the very most, it stops it altogether, and he wins in court, which he has been winning.
Yes.
If he was to lose in Texas and a Democrat took over the attorney general's office, think of what happens. Every California policy that gets instituted here in Texas, the attorney general would say, hey, we're good with that.
Yeah.
We're fine with that. He's the last line of defense. Brad, it's a must, Ken.
If he's not in Austin, do you know the mountain of effort we'll have to work to save children from sex trafficking? The amount of work that man has done in his office to help us to protect children. The opposite would be anarchy in the streets.
Yeah, it would be a disaster at the border.
And at the border, 100%.
Which is huge. All right, we've got to take another quick break. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Birch Gold. So, look, I don't have to tell you that inflation's a big deal because you're seeing it every time you open up your app and you look at your 401k or your IRA. You are seeing your money, your earnings being devalued every single day. Now is the time, you guys, okay? You got to diversify. You can do that with Birch Gold. You can text the word Y to 989898. They will send you a free info kit on diversifying into gold. Plus, when you do it this month by Black Friday, you will get a free gold bar with every purchase that you make by December 22nd. They've got almost 20 years experience converting these IRAs, 401ks, into precious metals IRAs. They can help you. Stop letting your savings get devalued by the radical left. Text the word Y to 989898. You're not going to lose anything. You're not going to pay anything. It's free. No obligation. There's no reason not to do it. That is the word Y to 989898.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Don Lemon, and yes, I will always call him that. I will never call him by his actual name. He asked John Fetterman, this must be in his morning show that he shares with two other co-hosts because he lost the primetime gig. So now he's in the mornings with the other people.
Don't make fun of people who lose primetime gigs.
Listen.
My Newsmax primetime.
That was political.
It was.
That was political.
This is
sheer ratings.
I know.
Your problem.
He deserved to lose that job a long time ago.
Yeah.
Was my point,
yes,
Grant.
Yes, I know. I'm just joking.
But so he was like, he was asking John Fetterman, hey, do you think that it would be helpful for your doctors to, I don't know, like brief the press before election night? And John Fetterman claimed apparently he lives in some alternate reality because he says that he has been very transparent about his health. Watch.
Do you think it would help if you let your doctors brief the press before election night?
I think we've been pretty transparent. You know, we've had our doctors just be very clear that they're here, that we're able to and fit to serve. And from my point, we've also been very transparent in terms of showing up at a debate and very transparent about, you know, having events in front of thousands and thousands of Pennsylvanians for months. And I was, again, it was no secret that I was going to miss some words. I was going to mush some words together. And as we've been very clear in the debate and during this interview, I've been using captioning as well. True, I believe we've been pretty transparent to give all the voters to make it their choice.
And listen, I'm asking the question for the voters because then voters may wonder, is there a reason that you don't want your doctors to take questions? That's why I keep asking this.
Hello?
I just believe that we have our doctors just weigh in on that, and they believe that I'm fit to serve.
Huh. Okay. Well, that's weird because he was asked to actually release his full medical records, and he refused to do so. I want to throw in one other clip with this exchange. Which, look, when you have this guy, this CNN hack, who is actually pressing you in this manner, and you are a Democrat, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You are totally screwed. Yeah. So he also was asking Fetterman about inflation. And of course, as expected, he gave just a completely nonsensical response. Watch.
Well, let's talk about inflation because that's a big concern for voters. What do you think the biggest cause of inflation is? And should the Biden administration be doing more?
No, I just do. I think that simply is also, Leah, let's talk about the trillions in massive tax cuts to the corporate tax structure as well. True, you know, trillions of dollars that have added to the deficit. And now they still want to support those as well. True. I think in terms of being very serious about addressing inflation is making sure that those rates are brought back into a line with what they should have been, where they're able to fight the deficit.
That is the definition of word salad. That made no sense.
Hello, Pennsylvania. Good night.
But you know, what do you expect? He goes to the Biden School of Campaigning. I mean,
oh my goodness, guys.
The fish rots from the head. I mean, you know who the head is. Yeah, it's the same nonsense you get.
But I say this, sorry, go ahead, Sarah.
No, go ahead.
Why wouldn't they though, Grant? Why if you've had success to put a man in the White House that does not have all these faculties, that can't, that
why not do it for the Senate?
Why not do it all over? Because you can control them. You can absolutely control them at every level. They will dance, puppet dance. They're not going to think for themselves. They don't have the ability to.
But this is bad. This and Joe Biden is bad. Let's face it. I don't look at much difference between that and what I get from Joe Biden on a daily basis.
No,
it's really not.
Or Kamala Harris, for that matter. It's
a national security risk. Even him in the United States Senate is a national security risk. Yeah. That's disastrous. And it's before the election. So the people of Pennsylvania, really,
you have time to
protect us around the country.
Yeah,
do not do
this. Yeah.
Poor Dr. Oz. You know, Dr. Oz, who I was not a great fan of leading this, but he's my candidate now, right? So I will vote for any Republican over any Democrat.
Right.
Always.
Straight ticket this
election.
There
is no such thing as person over party for me. It's not. It's party first, okay? So with him, you got to say, why would they go down that road? You could have done anything. And if you're Dr. Oz, are you not saying, I was a successful TV guy? I had kind of everything, the world by the conies, and I can't beat this guy.
Right.
I can't even get up in the polls on this guy by a sliver, up, down. What is going on?
No, he's going to beat him. He's going to beat him.
He has to.
Well, there was a poll that was taken October 26th from Insider Advantage. I'm reading on Real Clear Politics right now that shows Oz with a 3-point lead. But even then, it's like, how is that only 3 points?
Yeah. He's wearing a sweatshirt.
He looks like he's sitting in a jail cell. He looked like he was sitting in a cell. I mean, honestly, it is the whole thing. It's so bizarre. He looks like he's in a basement, like the president was in a basement running his campaign. Look, that makes no sense. All I can tell you is this. It's a mockery of the American people. They don't care. They'll put a guy in a sweatshirt out there looking like he's sitting in the basement running in a gubernatorial race to basically be the president of a state, because some of these states are larger than most countries.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We have to think that way. The governor of a state is basically a president. He's over everything in that state, and that guy's going to govern wisely. Come on, people.
I like the casual look, okay, obviously. I like the casual look.
You do the casual look much better than Fetterman.
I would never...
In a hoodie?
In a million years wear a hoodie on this program with you. Not in a million years. I wouldn't do it. I mean, I have some form of respect for, like, coming in front of everybody. I got cameras and lights. Right. You might want
to,
like, dress up a little bit.
Respect the constituents, the people you're asking to vote for you. What about the respect for those who live in Pennsylvania? Yeah. There's none. There's none. They don't care about you. Please, for the love of life, you got to vote Oz. I don't care if your whole family's voted blue back 7 generations. This time, you cannot let that happen.
I said, he looks like a professional wrestler. Okay? He looks like one. He'd never make it in professional wrestling. Do you know how on point those wrestlers are with their, you know, I got the Rolex watch and the fanciest car and then I'm going to beat your, you know, they're so good. He couldn't do that.
No.
There's no way he could do that.
No, I don't think
he makes Jesse Ventura look like a champion.
Yeah.
You remember Jesse Ventura? Yeah.
Which, by the way, I will also add, Grant. Yeah. You do respect the audience because you're showing them your guns right now with that.
The gun show.
With that shirt. So
there you go. See?
There you go.
Woo! Okay.
We got some guns in here, guys. Get security.
Yeah, hold on 1 minute.
What?
I'm getting uncomfortable. Her husband is the director of this
That's
program watching
friends.
Right now.
Very
uncomfortable.
It's got nothing
friends.
To do with that.
All right. So I want to play one more clip really quickly here because we were talking about inflation. We're talking about John Fetterman. You guys made the comparison with Joe Biden. Well, Joe Biden also talked about inflation today, but he said inflation is high because of the war in Iraq and then told this other nonsensical thing about why he was thinking about Iraq, which was also untrue. Watch.
No change in the quality of it, just change in the price. And they talk about inflation. You know, we're dealing with it for a whole second. Inflation is a worldwide problem right now because of a war in Iraq and the impact on oil and what Russia's doing. I mean, excuse me, the war in Ukraine.
Okay.
And think of Iraq because that's where my son died. Because he died.
He didn't. His son did not die in Iraq.
This is the second time in a couple of weeks he's done this. His son, obviously, Sarah, died of cancer. You know that, and you know that. And everybody knows that. The whole world knows that. But he tries to make him out to be like he died on a battlefield someplace.
What? Guys.
Twice in 2 weeks now.
I can't. We call it fractioning in our industry. And that's when a person's personality in their mind fractions. It's called split personality, multiple personality disorder, fractioning. This guy is fractioned.
There's I've dated some girls like this.
That's on you, buddy. That is totally on you, okay? I can't help you with that. If you're stupid, you suffer, okay? I'm sorry. If you're dumb, you suffer. No, but seriously, this is such a concern. There's not a psychiatrist worth his or her salt that will not look at that statement, knowing the facts, that would not go, this is 911 fire alarm. Yeah. Big problems.
Yeah, yeah. All right. We got to take another quick break. First, we want to thank our sponsor, U.S. Law Shield. So I was so excited. I found out about this concert that was taking place last weekend with Dierks Bentley over here in Dallas. It was at the Dos Equis Pavilion. It was so fun. So good. U.S. Law Shield put on the whole thing. They've got another concert coming up with U.S. Law Shield, but this one is in Houston. It's going to have Lynyrd Skynyrd and special guest Bret Michaels. It's so cool. You got to make sure that you're a part of it. This concert is a thank you for being part of the U.S. Law Shield family. And to show their appreciation to their members and friends, they're throwing an awesome party. And trust me when I tell you, it is awesome. It's this Sunday, November 6th, at the Toyota Center in Houston. You can get free tickets if you look them up on Facebook. That is how I found out about it. You guys know, I'm constantly going on Facebook looking for different events. So that's how I found out about it. Go find it. Go to the U.S. Law Shield Facebook page. Get your free tickets to an awesome show. Yesterday, The Atlantic published this article titled, "Let's Declare a Pandemic Amnesty. We need to forgive one another for what we did and said when we were in the dark about COVID." Now, part of the article reads, "We have to put these fights aside and declare a pandemic amnesty. We can leave out the willful purveyors of actual misinformation while forgiving the hard calls that people had no choice but to make with imperfect knowledge. Los Angeles County closed its beaches in summer 2020. Ex post facto, this makes no more sense than my family's masked hiking trips. But we need to learn from our mistakes and then let them go. We need to forgive the attacks too, because I thought schools should reopen and argued that kids as a group were not at high risk. I was called a teacher killer. It wasn't pleasant, but feelings were high." And then, of course, it goes on to cite all of the decline in education, all of the lower test scores, all of the school closures. But we should move on and just focus on helping children recover.
I will never forgive them.
Ever.
And in fact, I will always hold them accountable.
Yes.
It was a large part of taking my country in a direction that I don't want it to go. Mm-hmm. It was a large part in President Trump not being in the Oval Office today. This was weaponized against us. People lost all forms of common sense, even the blind sheep that followed these idiot leaders that put these tyrannical restrictions on us. I blame them, and I'm never going to forgive them either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I went on record whenever we were having all of these, you know, grocery store, the toilet paper shortages. I mean, this was at the very beginning. And I was like, guys, this is a bad flu. Calm down and stop freaking out. I got called all sorts of things. And, you know, I know that people like to cite the amount of people in total that have died. Guess what? the health officials purposely did not give your loved ones who died, they didn't give them the treatment that they required. They didn't give them ivermectin. They didn't give them hydroxychloroquine.
Right.
They didn't give them. The governors of some states did not allow the doctors to provide the treatment they wanted to provide to these people, and they died on purpose to push an agenda.
And if they,
never forgive, ever.
And if they did not die on purpose, then they misappropriated the death. A motorcycle accident gets logged as a COVID death because the guy happened to, you know, was asymptomatic with COVID while driving his motorcycle into a pole.
Oh, and guess who got money whenever they registered it as a COVID death?
Of course, of course. And standard protocol became remdesivir, which we know, I mean, and so, heck, we had to break my mom out of a hospital, literally broke her out of a hospital. Had the cops show up at the house, and I said, come try. You know, so, no, look, the forgiving thing, they'll always play on that because they'll play on your sympathy and your empathy. It's so easy to go into a fight and throw punches when no one's punching back. And then later when you go, oh, now they're coming for me. Can we just call a truce?
Right.
Can we just say, come on.
Oh, come on.
Let's
How could anyone have known? Oh, wait.
No, we told you.
Since day freaking one.
Do you both remember, this is one of my biggest regrets. I say I'm right 95% of the time. I've run the numbers 95% of the time. I'm right. There's 5% I'm wrong. I was sitting in that chair.
Is that why you're single?
Maybe. But it ends up I'm always right about that, too. But I was sitting in that chair. Yaku, I think you were sitting here.
Yes.
And Sarah,
yes.
You looked at me. This is in January of 2020.
Yes.
And you said, do you think this COVID thing is going to be a big deal? And I looked at you and I said, no, I don't think this is anything worse than the flu. I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think we need to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
I had never been so wrong in the next 2 years.
But right.
But I was right in the beginning.
Yes.
It was nothing.
Yes.
But I was wrong about the damage it would do. And it wasn't the COVID that did
Correct.
The damage.
Yep.
It was the politicians.
It wasn't the virus. It wasn't the virus. It was the policies.
That's right.
It was
Absolutely.
The government.
And I can argue what they claimed to be the remedy to the virus did more damage than the virus.
I mean, literally, when you have the health agencies of this country telling you you don't need vitamin D, you don't need to go outside, you don't need to exercise, what you need to do is go home, sit around in the dark, I guess, fill your face with potato
Grease.
Chips,
yeah.
and wait until you can't freaking breathe, and then come to the hospital where we will give you remdesivir and you will die. That's what the top health agency in this country right. was telling you. I don't know. It just took a little bit of common sense for us to go, that's never been correct. You always should get vitamin D. You always should get sunlight. You always should get exercise. This case is no different. Still do those things.
Right.
And the common sense that we said, and I was at this table, we were just inverted in chairs, where we said there's never in medicine a one size fits all, a one solution to everybody. Whenever the medical community comes to you and say, this is the fix for everybody, they're lying to you. And by the way, it's so convenient for them now to say, well, we didn't have all the information. You told us you did.
Right.
You told us the science, the science.
Right. Go ahead.
I can't remember what we talked about last week on this show, but I remember that question.
Yeah.
Of all the interviews I've ever done in my entire life, that was fundamentally the most memorable question ever because of everything that had happened since then. And then I'm on a plane flying back from Los Angeles yesterday, and I got 10, 15, 20 people on a plane wearing masks.
I did too yesterday. I flew from Louisville, Kentucky, and people are wearing masks.
What kind of idiot are you? Like, seriously, have you not figured it out?
A special kind of idiot. There's a whole new classification. We need to reclassify.
Yeah.
I want to remind everyone, election night, it's a week away, and obviously the stakes are really, really high. So you got to make sure that you sign up for our election guide over at theblaze.com/election guide. We're going to give you a free copy of Blaze Media's Ultimate Guide to the Midterms. It's going to go directly to your inbox. That is theblaze.com/election guide. We will give you everything you need to be ready for election night. I think I should give myself a prize for not having to use the swear jar at all this episode. California State Senator Scott Wiener spoke to KRON 4 News about Paul Pelosi's attacker, David DePape. He said, I've been aware of him for a long time because he was associated with the public nudity folks in the Castro. It's a long history with them. I'm unclear why Scott Wiener, state senator, would know why he had a long, like he knows this guy has a long history with a Castro nudist, but this is Scott Wiener, who has been at the helm of all of the monkeypox policies and trying to, you know, bring drag queen 101 to K through 12 curriculum in state schools. So I guess he would know.
I told you I do radio in Los Angeles every morning on AM 870. Scott Wiener's name comes up a lot. This guy, every bad policy out of California, Scott Wiener's name is always on it.
The age of consent lowered, right, for LGBT
Scott Wiener. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying,
with
Newsom. This does...
With Newsom.
With Newsom, but he often is the guy that's introducing this stuff in the Senate. He's championing these issues. Scott Wiener comes up with every radical, nonsensical, idiotic policy that you can think of.
Allegedly, there's the rumors of, you know, perhaps this was a gay lover of Paul Pelosi's, and you have... Scott
you were
Wiener.
Worried about me saying 2,000 mules.
You have Scott, Wiener over here talking about, I'm
underwear?
Just saying, he knows him. He knows him.
He knows him.
In his underwear with
Nancy
is not
home. I guess Paul Pelosi knows
home.
Him too, quite well, apparently.
Seems like a lover's quarrel to me.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.